People of God who love God said amen. And those who were not afraid shouted hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Paul White, is that Paul White? Stand, Paul White. It's good to see you. Thank you for being here. Don't want to embarrass you, but we're glad that you're here. Paul White's father was a great football player and played professional ball. And Paul, if you have one of his jerseys that you like to share with the church, we have jerseys and memorabilia from all of our pro players. We'd like to have something that represents your father, who was a member of this church, in our trophy case. Amen. So immediately after the service, I'm going to take you over and show it to you. And then you want your daddy's jersey or his cap or football or something in that trophy case. Thank you for being here. Morning comes to us from the Gospel of Luke. Luke, a physician, a follower of the Apostle Paul, a disciple of Paul, and also of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the Gospel according to Luke chapter 15, we began with the 11th verse. Jesus is teaching in parable, and the Pharisees and the scribes are murmuring that Jesus is in the house and receiving sinners and eating with them. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, I'm glad. Come on, help me here. I'm glad. That Jesus still receives sinners and eats with them. Thank you, because we too are sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But thanks be to God that Jesus Christ still makes house calls, still stops by and visits with us. They are complaining that Jesus is eating and dining with sinners. And the third verse of that 15th chapter says, and he, Jesus, spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, I was a lost sheep, but the Lord found me. Put me on the cross of Calvary and died for my sins. Hallelujah. And when he has found it, he laid it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? Say to your neighbor, neighbor, don't sweep my house. Sweep your own house. Hello, anybody home? Say to your neighbor, neighbor, the coin that was lost, that was just as valuable as the coins that she had already. Hallelujah. And when she has found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over two sinners, three sinners. Do you have your Bibles in your hand? Get the Bible out the pew and turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke is before John and after Mark. Says God, there's rejoicing in heaven in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. And then we come to the text. He said a certain man had how many sons? Two. Are y'all going to help me preach today? I want to go to that luncheon too. So you got to help me by saying amen. Tell me. Hurry up, preacher. Get through. Y'all not even doing that. So I'm going to take my time. And said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth unto me. And divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swines did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy sons. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He rose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Our subject for today, and as we reason for today, we look at this text, and from this text we ask the question, when is a father a failure? When is a father a failure? This is a sermon for a father who feel, if not always, at least occasionally, that they have never been anywhere, never amounted to anything. People wonder from time to time whether or not their living has made any particular difference. People who reserves of self-confidence sometimes run dry. People like the father who wrote to his minister, a church that was wealthy, he has the record of every life. He knows your record. He knows your frame. But yet God still loves us. In the midst of our sinful nature, God still loves us. He loved us so much until he sent Jesus to die for our sins. The Bible said the father was looking and he saw his son from a distance. And when he saw him, he ran, fell upon his neck, hugged him, kissed him. Look at your neighbor, look at your wife, look at your son, look at your neighbor and say, when the last time you hugged somebody? When the last time you kissed somebody? And if you sit next to your wife or your husband, look at them and say, when the last time you kissed me? When the last time you showed an affection for me? Y'all got quiet on that one. He hugged him. He showed his compassion. He showed that he cared. I shared with the 8 o'clock service this morning that a group of friends were visiting SeaWorld. One of the attractions was a captive whale. As they stood watching this domesticated Moby Dick, the young son of one of them looked up and said, Daddy, if I fall in there, would you come after me? You and I know, and his daddy knew, that if he fell in, not only the father, but 20 men would go in after him. So his daddy casually said, no, I would go back to the gate and get a refund
on your ticket. No, I wouldn't jump in. I'll go back to the gate and get a refund on your ticket. You and I know that the little boy's question is one of everybody's on everybody's mind. Does anyone care? That father who is compassionate, that father who cares, the father cared. He cared so much until he called his servants and said to his servants, look, this is my son who was dead, but he's now alive. He was not dead physically, but he was dead spiritually. There are some people in the church today that are not dead physically, but we're dead spiritually. Can I tell you something? God has a blessing with your name on it. He said to those servants, I care. Put some shoes on his feet. A new robe. A ring on his finger. Can I talk a little bit about the ring? Can I talk a little bit about the ring? The ring on his finger represented the authority of the Father. Once some person saw the insignia of the Father, they knew that this boy, whoever had the ring, was wearing the power of the Father. Can I tell you something? We got a ring on our finger. We have a ring in our lives, and that name is Jesus. For at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow, and every tongue must confess. When you run against evil, all you got to do is say, Jesus. The Holy Ghost folks say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. And so, my brothers and sisters, he put a ring on his finger, shoes on his feet, and a new robe around his body. If heaven has a banquet table, there is a place for you. There is a place for you. It doesn't matter about your status, for no status is too low. No hour too late. No place too far. God has included you as his guest. And so the Father takes the Son back. He restores unto him that the world has taken away from him. And I go to my final point. In the fourth place, a father's a failure when he quits sharing. I suspect you know the type, but if not, you can find a picture of him in that wealthy young man who came to Jesus, honest, so idealistic, so disciplined, that it was easy for the master to love him. And yet he went away sorrowful, sad as he was. I suspect that Jesus was even more downcast because he knew full well what all the promises the young man had. But because he was unwilling to share, he lost his seat in the kingdom. How have you handled what God has entrusted to you? Have you failed to share? Have you failed to share? If you fail to share, you have failed, period. But if you have shared, then you cannot fail in God's sight. I want to close with a striking phrase from Alan Knight Chambers. Never, he says, never neglect the insignificant fraction. It is easy to think that our efforts won't make a difference. We are just an insignificant fraction. But the curers found radium in an insignificant fraction, about 1,000 of 1%. What a host of miracles have come from the radium in an insignificant fraction. And what a mighty force for good can come when we fathers keep trying. When we fathers never quit trying, never quit trusting, never quit caring, never quit sharing. Christ died on Calvary because the Father loved us. And because God loved us, He sent his son, Jesus the Christ, who came all the way from heaven down, walked the dusty streets of Jerusalem, telling us, when you pray, say, Our Father. And he said, I must be about my Father's business. God has business for each one of us to do. And all we got to do is go into the far country and tell somebody, there's a name that I love to hear. It's the name of Jesus. Is there anybody here that loves to hear the name of Jesus? It soothes all pain. Is there anybody here that loves to hear the name of Jesus? Oh, how sweet the name of Jesus. Can I tell you something just a little bit about him? He loved us so much until he did his Father's will. He came to die. And out there on Calvary, on that Friday, they whipped him up the hill. They beat him. They spit upon him. But our forefather said he never said a mumbling word. And on that Friday, he hung his head in the locks of his shoulder. And he died for your sins. He died for my sins. Buried in a borrowed grave. But soon Sunday morning, all night Friday night, all night Saturday night, he stayed in the grave. But thanks be to God that was getting up power. The Bible, Paul said, and God, the Father, raised him from the dead. Is there anybody here that's willing to serve the true and living God? He died, but he got up. Thanks be to God. Buddha died, but he hadn't got up. Confucius died, but he hadn't got up. But Jesus, the Son of the living God, got up from the grave and got up with a word. All power in heaven and in earth is in my hands. Thank God for healing power. Thank God for economic power. Thank God for resurrection power. Don't fail me now. Is there anybody here that loves my Jesus? Is there anybody here that loves the Lord? If you